Today's program has been brought to you by TechServe, New York's original and still the best Apple computer, iPod, and iPhone store and repair shop. For more information, visit TechServe.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
To You Look Hungry on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Helen Holliman, and I'm back on the road this week, taking you over to my hometown of Austin, Texas. Yes, it is the state capital, and yes, we do have things like South by Southwest here. And many folks say it's the only part of Texas that feels like the good part, but those folks probably aren't from Texas. Over the past couple years, the growth and progress of Austin has shifted to a pace that kind of feels like Mach 1. And with the addition of new haunts and watering holes, I kind of wanted to rewind the clock and pay tribute to the old Austin, taking a glimpse into the foundations of what this town is all about. So I figured that today I'd hang out over at Dry Creek Saloon, an Austin institution. And after a drive through the hilly roads along Lake Austin, this canary yellow dive bar holds fort amongst the development of homes surrounding it. But here's what you need to know. It's got the best sunset view of Lake Austin, the most iconic country jukebox anywhere in the universe that's got more Willie Nelson and Waylon Jennings than I've ever seen, and it's the only spot that still offers the cheapest beers on this side of nostalgia. But beyond the time capsule of the atmosphere, this place hosts a slew of some of the most interesting Austin characters you'll ever meet. Back in the day, the late owner Sarah Ransom cracked open 25-cent Lone Stars. She was known, loved, and revered as the meanest bartender in Austin, especially if you forgot to return your empty beer bottle to her. But her son, who's also the current owner of Dry Creek, Jay Reynolds, holds down the fort these days. And later on in this episode, we'll hear Jay talk about how this place got its start. But first, I'm going to spend some time getting to know some of the locals who've experienced and watched this place and the growth of Austin over the past 50 years. So welcome to Austin. I hope y'all enjoy it.
Okay. I'm Ewell Muse, and I was at the University of Texas from 1956 to 1961. And I recall one day at the fraternity house, I was a deacon, by the way, and it was probably December, it was high school football playoff time. And one afternoon, these guys come in and said, we just found them. They've been out in the Mount Bonnell area doing something. They said, we found a new place to drink beer. So the next day, we gathered about two carloads, went out to Dry Creek. First time we'd been out there. And Sarah was just Sarah then, as she was Sarah when I left 5 years later. Very good-hearted, and I think, you know, she sounded, her bite was a lot worse than it really would have been, I think. But it used to be if you got a beer there, you couldn't get a refill until you brought the bottle back. And she would scream at people about, where's your bottle? I mean, she wasn't interested in making the next sale. She wanted that bottle back. And, you know, this just started out guys going out there after playing golf in the afternoons or something like that. And then, I don't know, she had the upstairs, which we didn't use the first several times we went out there. And, you know, after a while, we started taking dates out there at night. And there'd be maybe 6, 8, 10 couples all upstairs. And you still had to take your beer bottle back downstairs to get another beer. And that went on for 5 years while I was there. And things never changed. Sarah never changed. And then this was the amazing thing. I moved back to Austin in 1997. And my son was at Texas from 90 to 94. And so we went out there one day, probably about 99 or 2000. and go in there and get a beer. And she recognized me. Said, "Ewell, how are you doing? I haven't seen you in a long time." And I said, "And Robert, I remember you too." And I don't think she connected that we were father-son until we told her. But she remembered me from, it had to be 40 years. I mean, from 1961 to, say, 2001, around, for round number, that's 40 years. She remembered. And she was the same old way, bring that beer bottle back. But it was always a fun place to go, and very relaxed. I mean, you don't call it beer bottles hollering unrelaxing to me, so.
What kind of folks do you feel used to go to Dry Creek?
Most of my fraternity brothers. They were college kids. I don't know what went, later on, but I guess when my son was there, he went, and he's a college kid. So I'd say college, most of them. Close to being 21.
Yeah. And what was your beer of choice when you would go?
Well, back in those days, you had three choices of the cheap beer. You could get Pearl, Lone Star, or Falstaff for 25 cents. And then he wanted for 30 cents if you wanted a Bud. I normally drank Falstaff.
And what was your song on the jukebox?
Yeah, I don't remember. I didn't play it that often. I liked all of them, but I guess I was too cheap.
What do you think of Austin now versus back then?
It's totally changed. I'll tell you, when I left Austin in 61, and I didn't move back till 97, there were maybe five houses on the other side of the lake. There's the Fiji Lake House, and three or four other private resident weekend places. And then I think the Butlers had a house up on top of Redbud Trail. And there were, other than, that's about all that was over there. Camp Craft was probably still there, which I went to back in the 40s. I'm dating myself. But,
so how do you see it now? What, if you could describe how Austin feels to you, what is it like?
Big and crowded. Takes too long to get anywhere. I mean, we don't even go downtown anymore. Somebody else we eat downtown, we say, "Well, see you later." Anyway, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
My name is Tom Miller. Graduated from Austin High School in 1956. And I guess the story that he wants to hear, his mother owned Dry Creek Cafe, and she had a boyfriend, and they lived in a trailer house next door to the cafe, and we drank beer there and ate sandwiches nearly every day. They knew me well, and I knew them well. Her name was Sarah, and his name was Sarge. And one evening, night, late, they had an outdoor restroom hooked to the building with a cedar fence around it, about 7 feet high. And back in those days, we didn't go to the bathroom in front of the girls. That's all changed. And I had to go bad. And I was driving, and I pulled in there. I said, "I'll just use their restroom." They were closed. And I started climbing that cedar fence, and I heard this bam, whop, and these bullets hit me, about six shots. Just barely missed me, and I peed all over myself. And all the people in the car were screaming, and I couldn't think of his name being Sarge. I called Major, General, Captain. Finally, she stopped him. Like I say, he shot at me about six times with a .45 automatic. Lucky he missed me. What had happened, they'd been broken into the night before, and he thought it was the robbers coming back, and he was going to kill them. But he missed me. We got it all settled down, but that was a story around Austin for a while. The old Miller had been shot at. That's the one and only time I've ever been shot at, and I did not like it.
What's your favorite song to play in the jukebox at Dry Creek?
Anything by Ray Price.
What was your beer of choice?
Lone Star at that time.
What are your thoughts on Austin today versus when you were getting shot at Dry Creek?
I live way out in country now, and it was simply to get out of the traffic. Traffic in Austin is terrible. And I found out why recently. In the 40s, there were a lot of graduates coming from Texas A&M, engineers, and they designed all the road systems in Austin, and they're terrible. And they blamed it on Aggies all these years. Yeah, but it's grown. Oh, where we're sitting right here was city limits in those days, and on the south side was Manshack Road, was the city limits, and Lamar. It's grown tenfold. Anyway, that's all I know about the Dry Creek Cafe. I haven't been there in years. I'd like to go. I think Jay still runs it. Yeah. It was a good place. Lots of beer drinking.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, my name is Bo Franks, and I was in radio myself back in the 70s. And that's when we did everything, sales and announcing and DJ, you name it. And they closed the whorehouse down at LaGrange, best little whorehouse in Texas. And I had this idea for a piece of artwork that had the chicken ranch with a chicken with a saddle on it between the ranch and the chicken, LaGrange, Texas, at the bottom. And I had a couple dozen of them made, and boy, the world started beating past my doorstep. Well, I couldn't quit the radio station quick enough. And I'd met Willie at the station. He's come up there quite often. And I was driving home one day, and I drove by his office out west of Austin. And he was parking in the parking lot. And I pulled in and how you doing, Willie? Say, what would you think if I put your picture on a t-shirt? No one in the world was doing that. And he says, what for? I said, we might be able to sell them. Hey, you think so? I said, well, we don't know until we try. And he said, well, it's all right with me. And we made a deal there in that parking lot that has withstood the test of 35 years, whatever it's been. And you will never meet a nicer, more polite, humble man than Willie Nelson. I've been all over the world with him, been to Japan, Australia, New Zealand, England, France, Germany, Switzerland, and he just, I can't say enough good things about him. I'm retired from the road. My younger brother is out doing what we used to do together, and I don't travel anymore because I've got some few health issues at 75, so. Now Willie is 80, and Willie is still going strong. Don't y'all worry about Willie retiring, because he said he'd retire when we found him dead in the back of that bus.
What is your favorite Willie Nelson song?
What?
What's your favorite Willie Nelson song?
My favorite album is Phases and Stages, and that was back in the 70s, and I don't know if people can get it anymore, but he's done some terrific albums. He's, the Redheaded Stranger, they don't come to my mind right now, but he does some wonderful work. And Willie calls his band and his entourage family. And that's what it is. I mean, we gathered at his mother's house one time. We were up in Washington State for a big dinner, you know. And he doesn't pull rank on anybody. And I kind of consider myself an old man on the totem pole, but boy, he just, you know, he just great to me and my brother.
If you could take him to Dry Creek and buy him a beer, what kind of beer would you buy him?
Either a Lone Star or a Shiner. He's Willie is very, very Texas oriented, and you know, he's from Eppert Abbott, and he grew up picking cotton and kind of a man of the earth, and he started off playing his guitar in church, and graduated honky tonks. And man, we've been in some honky tonks. Some of them had chicken wire up in front of the bandstand so that the band wouldn't get hit with flying beer bottles. And the roughest one that we ever played was Panther Hall in Fort Worth. They had 6 cinch lights going at one time. I got up on the table and counted them. And Willie stopped singing, and he said, "Hey, y'all quit that. Let's get back to having fun." And everybody quit. It's been, I can't think of anything I'd rather have done for the last 30-some-odd years than follow Willie around over the country. He's a terrific, terrific individual. He, in fact, when he was nominated for Academy Awards for On the Road Again, I said, "Boy, that ought to be exciting. He's going to come go with me." And I went out there with him, and I got a backstage pass to the Academy Awards, and he's been on Johnny Carson's show numerous times, and I'd go there, and I've had a chance to meet some really good people who are in the entertainment business, and some of them they weren't, but I didn't, you know, hang out with them. But it's been a rocket ride.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
You're listening to King of Kings by Knife Show on the heritageradionetwork.org. Stay tuned for more You Look Hungry. This special program was brought to you by TechServe, New York's premier authorized Apple reseller and service provider, serving creative professionals at all levels, from individual customers to Fortune 100 companies. TechServe has built a solid reputation in their expertise in technology, sales, and service. Visit them on the web at techserve.com or in New York City at 119 West 23rd Street. Learn more about their in-store classes and incredible insider program. Make stuff happen. TechServe.
My name is Jay Reynolds, and I have a nickname. All my family has nicknames, and my family calls me Buddy. And, but you know, Mom had a real colorful history in that when she was, I think probably back in 1926, her father got killed in Lexington. And her mother had 10 kids. 3 of them had already left home. So Mom became the caregiver for the remaining kids, and they all moved to Austin. And so her whole life, she was more or less a caregiver. And the more handicapped you were, the better she liked you. So if you're real independent, you weren't handicapping her. And that really guided her life. She was, well, she first, my uncle originally built this property, him and his brother, on 3.5 acres up here. They bought it long about 1953, not earlier than that, 1951. And then his one brother decided to sell his part, so that narrowed it down to about 1.5 acres. And then her brother sold her the remaining 1.5 acres. So she bought this in 1956. And at that time, Austin was probably a population maybe around 50,000, 40,000, which is now almost approaching, over 500,000. But it was far enough out. And if you look around, you see all these cedar trees. All the people out here were chopping cedar, for cedar posts. And they sold it to the ranches. So her original customers and all were all cedar choppers. And that's where she developed her colorful language. She would cuss. She could actually embarrass a sailor. I mean, she didn't bear enough. I mean, she really cussed, and that set the whole tempo. During up to 1984, the drinking age was 18. So this became a big college hangout, particularly after. And you didn't have the boom in 6th Street back then, where all the college kids go to. But this became the big hangout. And you had the Deeks, which was the lawyers, and they all came out here at parties. And then, of course, Mom at that time would keep the bar open past the legal time until TABC finally busted a couple of times and threatened to take her license. So she got pretty straight. And then in 84, when they passed the drinking age, went up to 21, that really just about killed her business. So most of what we got now is really alumni. People that went to college during that period, when they come back to Austin, come up. So we've been reluctant to change anything here. I mean, it's the old furniture, I've kind of improved the deck. I mean, what Mom had up there was 2x6 table chairs and old broke down table. So we jazzed that up a little bit, but what you see is original, and we haven't changed it. Also in 84, the city of Austin incorporated Dry Creek, and they came in at that time. Mom had she had two trailers. She was living in a little old shack right back in the back, and two houses down there, which she rented out. Well, needless to say, the sewage on all those houses didn't meet any requirements at all. So they came in and they forced her to put in these big tanks, and that almost bankrupted her. So she decided to sell it, and at that time I was living in Floresville. So I said, Mom, if you sell that, you're just gonna go back to work as a waitress or another bar. I said, let me just buy it from you. I'll turn around and lease it to you. I'll give you the lease payments. I'll pay the property tax, and I'll pay all the maintenance. From that point forward, she did okay. See, everything came in, she raked it off. And she made it, and she was the draw. We had for a long time, in the evening, there'd be a table here, and we would kibitz people that came in. And of course, Mom couldn't, if you asked where the bathroom was, she couldn't just tell you where it was. She had to give you a lecture on the sign up here. Can't you read and all that? And so there'd be this table of people, and when people would come in, we'd say, order the pizza. She didn't serve no food. And they'd go, I'll have a pizza. Oh my God, she couldn't just say we don't have food. She just wanted a tirade. You couldn't come in and take pictures either. And you couldn't come in with that recording device. She absolutely, and she'd get mad if people stopped and took pictures of the barn. She'd run them off. She did not like video or any photos. And that was her stop. She went up, she lived all the way to 96. Actually, the last 10 years, she probably had a little dementia. And it got worse and worse because she, at that, it got to where she was actually not only cussing a lot, but she was kind of turning on her own friends and stuff. And it was, and then she got diabetes. And that just, and you could not control it. It was just impossible. She was going to do what she wanted to do and eat whatever she wanted to eat and eat. And you'd be lucky to keep her blood sugars in control. And that's what finally got her at the end. I would say to you, have you read all the articles up on the wall? You did?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's really I don't know. You know, Kelso did a couple of, you know who Kelso is? Okay, he did a couple of stories, and he did 4 articles on mom. But the one most interesting was, who was the meanest woman in Austin? And mom, and of course, mom was the standard. So it turned out there was a lady taxi cab driver in Austin that won the vote. So if you ever get in that cab and it's a woman, I don't know who she is. And And Kelso, she kicked him out of here. So on her 90th birthday, I invited Kelso here, and I made up a t-shirts like that. They had the Dry Creek on it. And on the back it said, "Tell Kelso to kiss my," and then just put a bunch of, and so he came and I gave him one of those t-shirts. He was shocked that, and mom was just embraced him and had a good time. Yeah, she got a little mellow tan. So you could give birthday parties to her.
Well, so when you walk in here, you buy a beer and you can get your own koozie on the right table. And I feel like there's one big rule here that seems like it's always been here for years, which is once you finish your beer, you have to return the bottle.
Well, mom ran it by herself, and you got the deck. So, you know, if you don't make them bring the bottle back down, guess what ends up with the bottle? They throw it off. So that put a screeching halt to that. Not only that, she didn't wait tables. So if you want another beer, not only did you have to bring your bottle back down, but, you know, and if you didn't, guess what you got? She'd call you every name in the book. I mean, it would, and you'd go back and get your bottle. But at least they weren't throwing bottles over the deck. We've got a really good crowd that comes in here. They're really, you go look at the bathrooms, we've had little problem with graffiti. I would say right now it's probably a crowd probably in the, between 25 and 35. They're kind of the elite of Austin, all of them living. And they do, they really come in and they enjoy just the rustic part. And then you get people my age coming in for memories. And so you get a big gap in there. I come in every Wednesday now, and we get a pretty good crowd. It's a mixed group, it's a funny group. Yeah, it doesn't make sense. One of them's a Ferrari mechanic, and then you got a marine used car dealer, and then you got a young one that's an accountant. And it's just a weird group.
Thinking about, you know, old Austin versus how quickly it's changing nowadays.
It's not the same.
Yeah. How would you describe, you know, growing up, being a kid in Austin versus where it is today, and how would you describe Austin today?
Well, Austin really is, like I say, it's really boomed. And, of course, it's boomed because it has jobs. and low tax rate, and it's business friendly, and it had the geography. It's got the lakes, it's got, you know, the green trees, the hill country, you're right on the edge of it, and it's really progressive. And Austin really, politically, is a liberal. I mean, and that's really due to the university and more than anything else. I mean, University of Texas is opposite of Texas A&M. And, but it's a fun town. But it's just, they did not keep up with the highways or the roads. So wherever you travel now, you're going to encounter traffic. And part of that reason was this Save Our Springs group, and which started fighting every time the highway department wanted to expand MOPAC, they would fight them. So they said, hey, we can stand it more than you can. So we got to gridlock now, and that's the worst thing about Austin. We didn't keep up on the highways. That's the only really complaint I have. I normally spend most of my time now out on the ranch. Now, I really bought that thinking that Mom would retire, and I should have known better. You know, she had done this so many years that people just get fixed in their own. But I bought a small place in Lexington thinking she'd want to move back to her old hometown, and but she wasn't going to move. So fine, you know, when she got bad enough on the diabetes, I had to take care of her, and then I had to get a caregiver the whole bit. But that's the, you know, it's, and I can see now as I get older, I'm getting fixed too. I'm just the opposite. I don't want to come in from Lexington. You know, I run cattle, and it keeps me busy, and it's in solitude. I'm there by myself, and you know, have a good time. But Mom was an old country girl. And she was, you know, and the other thing is she was really tight. And she was a dumpster diver in first class. She used to come to Lexington every Sunday because she never opened on Sundays. And she wouldn't get to Lexington until 2 in the afternoon, but she'd leave Austin at 10. It's only an hour and a half drive. But she had four dumpsters she had to go through. One of them started up here at the Bank of America, and of course they threw furniture and stuff away. And then the next one was where her sister lived in an apartment. She'd dive on those dumpsters. And then the next one was down at the, when you turn off on 696 off of 290, there was a dumpster in a little roadside park. And by 2 or 3 o'clock, she'd show up in Lexington. And then she'd go down to the recycle and get glass bottles for jellies and jams and stuff. She was an old-fashioned country girl, real tight, squeeze a penny. I always said she'd run over before a beer can. You didn't want to get between her and a beer can. She collected beer cans. And I, you know, she had, I'm her son, and she had a daughter, which is really my stepdaughter. Not step, but what do you call them, a half-sister. And Mom was rough on her men. I always said that she would probably have been married 10 times. The first two marriages lasted less than a year, and then she married my stepfather, Huggins, and it lasted 22 years. And I always was mesmerized by why it lasted that long, but she married him in 1939, and he was in the military, and of course he went off to World War II, and then when he came back, we all moved to, he was from Mobile, Alabama. So we moved to Mobile. We lived there 6 years. Then he got called back up and went to Korea. And so he was gone 90% of the time. Mom was a real Flander. She had lots of boyfriends. And I would say my stepfather's the same way. And then when he got took retirement, the marriage lasted a year. And then she married another. Ransom, and that's the last name she had. So she went through the mill. And then Sergeant was just, by that time, she was like 65, 70, and Sergeant. You heard
old. Yeah.
He moved in. Yeah, he was just a retired mechanic, and he kept doing all the repair work for Mom and everything. He was a character too. You know what was funny? She so influenced him that the two of them would get behind that bar and just fight like cats and dogs, calling names, each other names. And if a customer came up and they were arguing and he said anything, both of them would jump on him. He was worse than Mom. He just, it was crazy.
Well, you know, I think about this place, and I think about the Broken Spoke and, you know, other kind of Austin institutions that when I think of what Austin means to me, these are the places that come to my mind. And, you know, with all of the progress or all the construction that's happening, do you worry at all about this place, you know, getting pushed out by new...
It's not for sale. I've had a lot of offers. If somebody comes in and they want to buy it, in truth, everything in life is for sale. So I just tell them, right now, if you want to buy the whole shooting match, give me $2.5 million. And most of the time, that's about them. It's worth, the property right now, it's probably at that price.
How would you give advice to folks that are moving to Austin from other states who are not Texan? What does it mean to be a Texan?
Oh, you know, I've always said it's easy. If you want to be a Texan, all you have to do is brag about it. That's it. Don't come down here and badmouth Texas. If you want to be a Texan, just start bragging like the rest of us. There's no better place to live.
What is your favorite beer on the menu here? What do you drink?
Oh, I'm not picky. I'll drink Budweiser, I'll drink Lone Star, I'll drink Pearl. It doesn't matter.
And what's the song on the jukebox that you play?
Well, we've just about, that's the oldest, last 45 record player in Austin. So we're wearing them out. But I don't know, there's San Antonio Roses on there, Green Berets on there, Six Pack to Go's on there. I like them all, and we have not changed it. A lot of people come in here, you know, and that's really, it's a mix of country, western, and rock and roll. And a lot of people just are shocked and don't like that kind of music. But that's the music we have, and that's what we're going to have. You get 5 songs for a dollar. You ain't gonna beat that anywhere else. So, no. But we keep it going, and the old boy comes up here and repairs it. So I think they kind of take a little pride in that. That's the last 45. And I'm trying to. I got a friend that lives in Brenham. I got to go see him. He's got a big collection of 45, because we've worn out Janis Joplin. We wore that one out. Everybody loved that one. So I got to go find it, see if I can get it again. But we try to replenish it with the old song. And just keeping the old theme. We're not making any money, but who cares? Huh? As long as I break even, to me, and it's just, in my, it's tax write-off now. But I do cash flow basis. I'm not losing money, but on a tax basis. By the time you pay the property tax and all the other taxes you got to pay and the license fees, and then you got the employee and all that. But it's I don't have to, with Angel working here, I don't have to come in doing an audit or nothing. She just, you can roll dice with her on the telephone. She's that honest, so I don't have to worry about anything. I just come in. She takes care of the banking and the order and everything. All I do is just come in and say how things doing and look at what the sales were, and then I do the taxes every year and pay it. And she actually writes all the checks, pays all the bills. So it's easy on me. And just, it's like I was saying, I just come in and say howdy. She's a character. She's kind of, everybody says she's a reincarnation of Mom. Except she's not as aggressive as Mom was. But she's, they were just, her and Mom were just real close friends.
Well, thank you so much for opening up Dry Creek and giving the time to talk to me. And I hope that this stays open, you know, for another century or more. So.
Well, I can tell you, I have a daughter and a son, and I don't think either, I don't think my son's not, I don't think they're interested in this or my ranch. My daughter's a real estate agent. I think she'll sell the whole shoe match.
Well, maybe I'll buy it from her.
There you go.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thanks so much for hanging out with me in Austin today. I hope you enjoyed it, and I hope wherever you are, you found yourself a Pearl or a Lone Star beer and an old Country 45 record. And just remember, if you want to be Texan, all you have to do is brag about it. As always, thanks so much to Joe Galarraga, Jack Inslee, and the rest of the crew at Heritage Radio, and to Dry Creek Saloon. I'll see y'all next week.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.